हाँ ना,
good evening.
anything.
How did everything go today?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand what you said.
I asked how your day was because you had
Oh.
indicated you were going to the dentist. Or...
Right, it was my 6 month checkup, so. But it went well.
Good.
I'm cleaning windows and blinds and dusting furniture, and that's it. I'm getting to it at least. It was a good day.
Good. The I have a project for you if you have time, and there's no rush on it. But I see that the ARIE list that you had sent me will run out in about 3 weeks.
Okay.
So if you could start up with
from the beginning.
Yeah.
Okay.
Start with
so how far do we need to go?
Probably to, hold on, I can look to make sure. You started this one with AKIV. No.
Okay.
With Balak. So,
with Balak. Okay. Well, I can get to a few at a time, you know,
yeah,
try to stay
no,
ahead of where we are.
Right. Yeah, you don't have to do them all at one time, but, you know, if you do probably the book of Genesis and then the book of Exodus and
right.
Leviticus, do it in three steps,
mm-hmm.
and then we can figure out where we are with the other one.
Okay, or if I can try to get through it. Through Hanukkah, you know, if I can, because I kind of try to stay in something that I can really remember, you know, I'll do what I can.
Understood.
Okay.
And as I said, there is no rush on it.
Okay.
So the question is, do you want to get started tonight or you want to wait?
I think there's someone else on because when I came on, when I came on, there was no music. So that's usually a sign someone's on and says she's on.
Good evening, Alta.
Good evening.
So we are, believe we're starting at verse 376, which is in section 34 of. Parasha Lech Lecha from the Sulam commentary, and I'll start with the Lashem Yehud. Lashem Yehud kud shabrichu ishkinte bitkilu urchimu kilu utkilu urchimu. Leakta lishem yudhe bavate. Be Yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limun Torah mitzvah. La sok Torah mitzvah. Vayehino amadunai Elohino aleinu maasei yadeinu kananei aleinu maasei yadeinu kananeihu. Tachatzei laila dina bekol atar v'haokim na mila v'hakehu v'day v'haitar kamei. Dirabi Shimon Amar Hahu Yenuka Berea Dehahu Gavra I Hake Amai Ketiv Chatzot Laila Amar Lo Ha Yitmar Befal Guta Bekal Befal Gut Leil ya malkuta bismaya itarat amara na shema na mila. Amar lo rabbi abba ema. Peri av deha mila defu ma. Kala devotsina leheve. The translation. Come and see. As we have already explained, night has always been the time of judgment. It was discussed in the presence of Rabbi Shimon, and is certainly so. The young son of the landlord then asked, if so, then why is it written midnight? And they explained to him, it is as we have already stated, because the kingdom of heaven is awakened at midnight. The son said, I have heard that, but have another explanation. Rabbi Abba said, well then speak up, my son, for your word shall be the voice of the candle, referring to the voice of Rabbi Shimon, who is called the luminous light. My commentary is this pasuk is clear as written. You can note that there is no Rabbi Ashlag comments. And I asked the question in the comment is, do you think this is a transition verse? Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, I'm thinking it possibly could be a transition verse, mainly because we're seeing the young son, the identity here, asking the question and well, not so much answering the question, but wanting to respond to a new response that we're hearing from this young lad.
And he's also saying that he heard the different explanation from Rabbi Shimon.
Mm-hmm. Now, in my copy, half of the last sentence is in caps.
That would be, who is called the luminous light?
It starts with referring to the voice of Rabbi Shimon, who is called the luminous light. Yes, that's in caps.
Okay, because in mine it's not, so. More than likely it is.
He's just giving, us the metaphor for the word candle. Being Rabbi
Shimon. Right.
So.
He's explaining why the candle is being used as the metaphor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anybody else want to make a comment or a thought? If not, we'll go to 377. Amar ana shema ana dehalaila dina demalkuta ihu uvechol atar dina hu behai dekamar chatzot begindi an yanka bitrei gavine bedina vecheset be Uvadai Alguta Kadmeta Dinahu Deha Palguta Athara Nehiru Anpara Pahabasitra Behesed Wealda Chatzot Laila Kitivadai. The translation, the young son said, I heard that the night is the time when the judgment of Malchut is in power. As a result, everywhere the term night appears, it refers to judgment. But when the term midnight appears, it is because Malchut is nourished from the two aspects, judgment and chesed. So the first half of the night is the time of judgment. During the second half, however, the face shines from the aspect of chesed. This is why it is written midnight, the half of chesed, my commentary. With Rabbi Ashlag's commentary, the Pasuk is clear as written and is also expressing a spiritual law. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Since we lose the chesed of the morning at noon, how far from noon to what time is that? Well, I guess I'm trying to ask, when is the night starting? Is it when the sun goes down, or is there a specific hour?
No, it's when the sun goes down.
Okay.
Do you understand what the spiritual law is that's being expressed?
Well, it's that at midnight. That's it.
But what is it? What is being expressed that at midnight, what happens?
Well, that's when the judgment is, Gevura is softened because hence it begins to arise, to shine.
That's correct. But look at the word chatzot in the Aramaic verse. The fourth to the last word, it's elsewhere in it as well. Look at the spelling.
Okay. Tet Sadivav Tet Tav.
Yes. Now go back to the English translation at the end. This is why it is written midnight. The half of chesed. The word chatzot is expressing half of chesed. But how do you see that? How do you know that?
Well, because with me, I link it to chatzi kaddish, you know, half of a kaddish or not watered down, but reduced, I guess, would be the word.
Well, that's what the meaning of chatzi kaddish is. It's a reduced kaddish. It doesn't have all of the words.
Mm-hmm. So I would think
and
that...
That's the meaning of half. But mm-hmm. What's the Hebrew for half? It's chatzi. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's hot, but
it's the same root,
the real word is with the real word for chatzi or for half is chatzi chet sadi yud. But here it's giving you the female ending, but it's really saying chet sadi means half. The vav represents zeranpin. And Zeran Pin is essentially chesed. Why? Because it starts with chesed. And whatever it starts with, that's the energy that follows through.
Mm-hmm.
When I am doing the astrological discussion in my weekly email, I start with the moon is in with whatever location. it only stays there a day or two. But the fact that it starts the week there establishes the overall energy of that week. When we study the Sefer Yetzirah, we talk about the planetary alignment of the planetary alignment for each day, because when the sun rises, each day has a different astrological sign that impacts that day. And then the control starts with what arrangement of astrology starts that day. And the spiritual laws is essentially saying, what's in the Keter, what's in the beginning, establishes the frame of reference. And it's really an important spiritual law to learn. Is it clear?
Well, it made me think of a few verses back when we learned that that was the name of Hashem. So, you know, midnight. That to me, Hashem shows up.
Hashem shows up, it means mercy. There's no question. Mm-hmm. It's the same idea.
Right.
When the light comes up, mercy is entered. Well, we know at midnight the light doesn't come up, but the energy is there. And you know, if you're up at night and you look out of your window, you just feel a serene energy. It's a quiet energy. It's without the hustle and bustle of the day.
No phone calls.
As I said, without the hustle and bustle.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to 378.
Okay.
Unless somebody has another question, and it's quite all right if you do. Pasuk 378. Kam Rabbi Abba Wishawe Yedoi Bereshea Uvar Kea Amar Vadai Hashiv Dechach Beta La Ishta Kach Bar Beinun Zakai E Zako Ba Hashta Hameda the Afilu Yanuke Pedara de Rabbi Shimon Zicholechmeta Ila Azaka Aunt Rabbi Shimon Vadi de Radara the Aunt Titista La Minea Yadvu Ad Safra Vishtad Lubio Raita. The translation: Rabbi Abba stood up, placed his hands over his head, and blessed him. He said, I thought that wisdom was found only among the righteous who earned it through pious deeds. But now I see that in the generation of Rabbi Shimon, even the young have merited the supernal wisdom because of him. Happy are you, Rabbi Shimon. Woe to the generation from which you shall depart. They sat until the morning studying Torah. my commentary. With Rabbi Ashlag's commentary, the pasuk is clear as written. In our generation, our supernal wisdom comes from the revelation of the Zohar, which is the generation of Rabbi Shimon. And as an unwritten commentary, because you study the Zohar, you are considered part of the generation of Rabbi Shimon. Questions, comments, thoughts?
We know how it used to be that it was said that you had to be 40 before you studied Zohar.
Yes.
And I think this verse lets us see that now Zohar is open to everyone that wants it.
Correct. I do need to clarify. It was never written that you had to be 40. It was never written that you had to be married. These were statements that came out of the various Orthodox traditions. And there are many explanations as to why they were said this way. But it was never necessary to be 40 to study Zohar. The Ari was 13 when he started to study Zohar. The Ramchal, Rabbi Luzzatto, he was in his teens when he started to study Zohar. The Baal Shem Tov was in his teens when he started to study Zohar. So it was never written that you needed to be 40. It was said by rabbis who didn't want to allow people to study it because they were not knowledgeable in it, is one explanation that is given. But as I said, when Chana said, remember what it said about being 40, it applies in this situation. Everybody can study the Zohar now. You don't need to be 40 years old to study it. You don't need to be married to study it. But what this is really saying, what this verse is saying, is the generation needs the Zohar in order to be able to handle the negativity of the world. Because as a righteous person leaves the world, the light that they revealed during their lifetime goes with them. It's stored in Bina, but it's no longer available in Malchut. And so the world seems to be darker. It seems to be more negative because the number of people who are left are more negative, are people who have the negative consciousness. Any other thoughts or comments? I'm going to stop it here because we still have a couple of verses and we won't be able to finish it tonight.
Let me ask a quick question. Do you think Rabbi Abba just got that revelation when his son, when the young lad said what he did? That he always thought it was the righteous who earn through pious deeds receive the supernal wisdom. Do we know that or not?
I'm not clear on the question you're asking, so please say it again.
Well, I was wondering if Rabbi Abba just got that revelation. That's why he put his hands over the young child and blessed him. If it was only the son's revelation that caused him to see that the supernal wisdom was open to all, not just those who had become righteous through pious deeds. In other words, is this his first time to get that realization? It doesn't tell us.
It doesn't tell you.
Mm-hmm.
But the question is, what? There are 10 rabbis that studied with Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon is the 10th, so there's 9 rabbis in Rabbi Shimon. And they are studying in the large assembly, the Zuta Rabba. Zuta means assembly in Aramaic, and Rabba means large. Then there's the Idra Rabba, which is the small assembly. And we know that in the Idra Rabba, there are only 7 rabbis, including Rabbi Shimon. 2 of the rabbis have died in the process of Rabbi Shimon teaching. They started out when he came out of the cave with 10, and when he leaves the world, there are only 7. So the rabbi here is Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Yaakov. Now, Rabbi Yaakov is not considered part of the 9.
Okay.
So the question is, what Sephirah does Rabbi Abba represent? Rabbi Shimon represents the Keter. Rabbi Elazar, it's not clear. Nobody ever says which one he is. Rabbi Elazar is Rabbi Shimon's son. So in that sense, he represents their unpin. But he could also represent Chachma. Rabbi Abba is given during the day that Rabbi Shimon leaves the world. Rabbi Abba is told, you're going to get long life so you can write down all of the teachings of Rabbi Shimon. So the Zohar is actually written by Rabbi Abba.
Mm.
So I'm addressing the question you're asking. The generation of Rabbi Shimon was revealing the Zohar, which is the revealing the soul of God. What Sephirah does Rabbi Abba represent? And once you have that question answered, it answers the question you're asking. Is this revelation by Rabbi Abba blessing the child, is that the purpose? Does that reveal the spiritual law that we've talked about here? Or was it revealed elsewhere and in earlier generations? Is my answer clear or is it confusing? Because it was rather long-winded, that's why I'm asking.
Your answer is clear. I just wonder if Rabbi Abba then would fit into Yesod. Because wouldn't he be revealing to Malkut with his statements in this particular verse?
That's a good question. But who is the chariot for Yesod in the fathers?
Joseph, Yosef.
And what would you say to Rabbi Yossi? Because Yossi is the diminutive of
Joseph. Okay, so.
But I'm going to give you a hint.
Okay.
There's no, because you don't think in terms that the Sephirah of dots. We don't consider it a Sephirah. We at times we don't consider it the Keter a Sephirah, and then dot becomes a Sephirah. And so the question is, if Keter is not the Sephirah, so then Rabbi Shimon becomes Chachma, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Rabbi Elazar becomes Bina rather than Chachma. And then Rabbi Abba as the scribe would be the Sephirah of Dot.
Mm-hmm.
And when you read Rabbi Abba in various places, you can see, because that represents the balance point between Chachma and Bina. It represents both Chesed and Geburah, positive and, you know, sharing and receiving.
Mm-hmm.
So, and some, when you read Rabbi, sometimes he's coming from a left column location and sometimes from a right column location. But we don't normally think that the dot is a Sephirah because we're taught there's only 10, not 11. It becomes a very, very interesting teaching process for you to list the names and then try and put them into the appropriate Sephirot. And again, there's no one right answer. It could just as well be, even though I said it's Rabbi Yossi is Yisod, it could very well be that Rabbi Abba is Yisod. Because what's the difference between Yisod and Tiferet? What's the difference between Yisod and Dot?
They're all middle columns.
They're all central column, correct.
But I can see the dot, because if he's doing the writings of Rabbi Shimon, I mean, that's like, you know, such a close connection to Rabbi Shimon, I can see it being dot. So, and maybe we'll see more before this chapter ends.
Well, it ends in two more verses.
Yeah, I see that.
So, and then we will have to finish up section 33 that I messed up and we didn't do. So,
well, I think this was an important verse, because so many times if you do mention Kabbalah to someone, they're going to give you that 40-year-old and marriage. And, oh, why are you getting into that? Whereas this gives substance to be explained that, you know, what is said.
I
don't think they've given us
a
sign, but we do know a little bit about it. So, but I think it's an important verse for that reason.
Oh, it definitely is. And what's important is that when someone says you have to be 40 and you have to be married and all of these different rules, the answer is because the person who's saying that has heard that from their rabbi. They're quoting you a halakha, and the answer, the response to them is, where is it written? Tell me the location of where it is written. Because that is the essence of Judaism. If you don't learn from a teacher, or you don't learn from the written word itself, where are you learning from? How can you be sure that it's not a corrupted teaching? And that's why I'm very clear. Every time I give you something that's from my own intuition, I'm telling you this is my opinion, so that you can evaluate that for yourself. But anytime you hear that from somebody, you know, when you offer them the, you know, to, it's important to study Kabbalah, and they say, no, you have to be 40, you have to be married, you have to be this, that, or the other. And if you ask them, where is it written, the next time you're with that person, you repeat the question, did you look for the where it was written? And if they truly do make the effort, they break through the klipa, because the statement, you have to be 40, is a klipa.
Mm-hmm.
It's an explanation, it's a blockage. And it has to be broken, but you can't break it through rational explanation. The person has to make that effort themselves. Classes tonight. The 7 o'clock class will be the writings of the Ari. Tomorrow morning we will have a Slichot class at 7 a.m. But we have a special class at 2 p.m. Not 2 p.m. 11 a.m. That is going to be explaining how the holidays in Tishrei are related to the Tree of Life. And you have had that handout, you've had that class before, but I'm going to be giving it here to the people in the building for the first time. So you may want to listen, because it's always good to review that understanding as we approach Rosh Hashanah. Shalom Gadol to all.
Okay, Shalom Gadol. Thank you. Shalom.
Shalom.